little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So staying mostly with symptoms, how they start, what they mean, how they develop, how we can understand the link between bodies, minds, and symptoms. And we'll talk, and this is the really the crux of the rehearsal we're going to do, is that the way in which we can be helpful is by providing neuroendo-autonomic physiological structural bridges between symptoms and bodies. Because it's a mistake to say this is a psychological cause. I mean, I do it as well, but it's on the whole, I think it's unhelpful to people to think that it's just psychological, because it's an interplay between the moment when you feel your gut starting to change and the thoughts you then have about, oh no, I'm going to have an episode of this, I won't be able to pick up the kids from school, and the effect that has on your physiology, and the effect that physiology has on your guts, and the effect that has on your thinking and on your behavior, and on the behavior of those around you. Are you not going to be able to pick up the kids again? Have I got to come home? And the effect that has on your thinking and your mood. So, but also on your body and your tenseness and all the rest of it. I think it is very helpful to distinguish early presentations, single symptoms, where you can be incredibly helpful in heading individual and early symptoms off at the pass, so to speak, where what you can do is you can say right at the get-go, this is a symptom that we don't need to invoke any sort of structural or disease process for. This is a symptom that lots of people have that... whose meaning is, and we don't have to do anything else. And that's the idea of positive diagnosis. So, in answer to your observation, they overlap. And there is a joke, and it's not just a joke, that the diagnosis you get with a functional disorder may depend on the person who's doing the diagnosing. So if you have a gut-predominant functional disorder and see a gastroenterologist, you'll get a functional gut diagnosis. But if you see a neurologist, you'll get a daily headache diagnosis. Or if you see someone who's ended up doing chronic fatigue, you'll get a chronic fatigue diagnosis potentially, or whatever. So they overlap. And in one particular study that I picked out, you've got people with one functional syndrome. So these are patients with tension type headaches who also had cardiac chest pain, non-cardiac chest pain, fibromyalgia, IBS, chronic fatigue, chronic pelvic pain.
We've got a tendency to call all these problems functional illnesses.
Yeah.
And that's doublespeak for us, and it tells us that functional is all in the mind.
That's
the danger, and that's what I wanted to raise. Yeah.
So when I was a medical student, I really hated people who talked about functional because they use it as a synonym for supratentorial. Mm. And they were usually surgeons and usually pretty primitive. But that isn't always the case, of course. But it's not. It's about function. It's about the way a thing works. It's nothing to do with brains. Mm. And it's all to do with brains. Because, of course, we cannot have any perception of our body without a brain. So all pain is in the brain. All symptoms are in the brain. Because that's the only thing we have. Symptoms aren't in your knee. Your knee may be sending a great deal of signals up to your command center. But it's only this that could interpret those symptoms as painful, dangerous, normal, or whatever. So in that sense, it's all in the brain. And what I'm doing now is beginning to model some of the language that I think can be helpful to patients. So when people say, you're telling me it's all in my brain, I'm saying it is, because everything is in your brain. That's all we've got. to understand the world and to understand our bodies. And so how the brain works. But what I say is there's a difference between the brain and the mind. So I often talk about how your brain is working and what it's telling you. So rather than saying your pain threshold is lower, I'm saying your brain has become super sensitive to signals from this part of your body. And that means your brain is often obliging you by sending you up signals that says there's a problem here. But your brain is no longer accurately telling us what's going on in the tissues. And this is a problem. And it's a problem in the way the brain and the brain systems are working. Not your mind and not you. The way your brain is working. And it turns out that these bridges that help connect body back with brain and brain to mind, or you, seem to be more helpful. But you're absolutely right. You've got to be very careful because people misinterpret functional as meaning. It's psychological. And that's presentation, that's quite old, 1989, but that's presentations in a hospital, in hospital departments. And I've put in the word structural there because I'm not too happy with organic, really. Because I kind of think, well, what's the opposite of organic? How can, you know, we don't have inorganic things, you know, or non-organic. It's all organic. We're an organism. So I don't like organic and functional. Because we need organic stuff in order to make functions happen. You have to tell your heart to pump, to beat. And that's an organic process to make it function. So it helps to think about them a bit, but only to help provide a bridge between structure and function. And one of the commonest ways, not by any means the only, but a useful metaphor is about hardware and software. Do people already use that?
No, I don't use it.
You do?
No, I don't, but now that you've said it, it's a sensible thing to
do. It's a really helpful way, mostly because most people have some idea that there's a hard thing that you can kick, which is a structural thing. That's in a sense, your body. And there's a computer, and there's the hard things. And if we opened up the lid, we'd see lots of fancy little shiny things which connect. Okay, that's the wiring. That's the way it works. You know, that's the structure. Okay, and if I burnt a hole in this bit, it wouldn't work so well. But most people are very aware that their computer sometimes goes ding, illegal activity or illegal, you know, function or whatever. It stops working. The software has broken down. And what is happening in you is right now, we can't find anything wrong with the wiring or the hard things, the structural things. We've done the relevant tests. But the way it's working has gone wrong. Okay? And there are very good reasons why that happens. And it's very common. And we don't need to do any other tests because the pattern of your symptoms strongly suggests this is a software problem, not a hardware problem. Now, the difficulty for you is it feels exactly the same. The thing has stopped, or it's giving you a particular set of symptoms. But those symptoms are happening for a particular set of reasons, and it's to do with the software rather than the hardware. So that's just one way.
Useful.
Yeah,
had a patient recently, actually. He works as a mechanic, and he was like, well, you're telling me, like, you know, when you bring me a car and said, like, you know, there's something wrong with it, I will try to fix it or find out. If I can't find out, I will search more until I'll get to the bottom of it.
Okay.
Why you can't do this.
Yes.
And I think that's just, yeah.
And one of the things you can then say is, so in a way, that's a helpful model. And obviously you can run a diagnostics on your car that tells you whether it's actually just the software that needs replacing or whether there's a wiring problem. Now, the problem is we don't have really good ways of running diagnostics.
Yes.
And it's a little unethical to reboot you. doesn't work very well, okay? But we have, in fact, got to try and reboot your software, because right now it's telling you stuff that's really not accurate. So that's just one bit of an explanatory model. Okay.
Possibly the way that ECT works then, isn't it?
Yeah. I think ECT probably does work exactly like
reboot.
That. But what happens is that you have developed pathways of thinking about yourself, about the world, which have been very deeply ingrained. And we know that things that fire together wire together. So we know that. So this would be, now this is where explanatory explanations have to skate across known stuff, possible stuff, and bullshit. And one of your skills is to use that in a way that is respectful and honest, but also therapeutic. You are not just technicians dealing with facts and guidelines. You are therapists. Still, just hold on to it. It's fast disappearing. But while you still are therapists in human relationships with other humans, you are allowed to do things that stretch, yeah? So, you know, what you might say is that we know that if thinking patterns become very persistent, they can be very hard to get rid of, and it probably is that neurons, the little wires, have lots of endings, and we used to think they were all fixed, rather like in a computer. But actually, we are so much better than computers, because our wiring is changing all the time. If you get Wayne to start a musical instrument at 4 and measure the size and shape of his brain every year for the next 10 years, and he practices for an hour a day, some bits of his brain will get bigger. They will literally get bigger, because the bits of his brain that are to do with moving his fingers like that and listening to tuning and all of that stuff, they actually grow. And we know this because if you've tried to learn an instrument when you're 35, you will learn it at about a tenth of the rate of your child. Because although your brain is still plastic and still able to rewire, it does it much slower. So we know that the wiring isn't fixed, it changes. We also know, for example, that if you have an area of your body which is giving you symptoms, and you're concerned about what those symptoms mean, you can ask your brain to turn up the volume on that part of your body, because the signals are designed to keep you safe. Okay, so all pain is designed as a safety system. It's designed to tell you, don't touch that thing, it's hot. Okay? Now, if you get some symptoms from a part of your body and you are minded that there might be something wrong there, something might be starting to happen, you can ask your brain to pay particular attention. If you go on asking your brain to pay particular attention for over a few weeks, you can actually demonstrate that the number of receptors on the end of the nerves feeding that area grow. There are more receptors in that area of your body where you have been getting signals which have been concerning you. So you've been saying to your brain, I need to know about that area, because Dr. Razak tells me it's fine, but I, how does he know? He hasn't done all the tests. So how does he know? So I need to know about that. One of the consequences of that is that you will get more signals from that area.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.